This morning we want to share with you something other about the principles of a good role model. Today there's a real problem because many of the role models that are propagated for our young people particularly and for us who are still developing and growing that are not really good role models. They may be popular people. They may be people who have lots of recognition, but they are just not really good role models. So this morning, we're going to look at a good role model, which is Joseph. If you want to turn to the 37th chapter of Genesis, we're going to just kind of look at Joseph this morning. Because Joseph, I think, was probably one of the best role models that you have in the Bible. And if you want to look at some things that you need in your life or to pattern your life after, then I hope that you'll pick up on some of these things this morning because it is very important. Joseph came into a family that the Bible kept developing up and we find that as it developed, that God brought into the family of Israel a man that was named Joseph. God adds, God increases. Joseph was one of those things where his very name recognized that God was there. And the reason for it was that his mother could not have any children or was not able to have children. And so we know that for a while there, it looked like she was not going to have any children, but then she did bear a son. And out of that, son, when he came, that began to begin. Verse 37, verse 3 says, "Now Israel loved Joseph," that's the newborn, "more than his other sons because Joseph was a son born to him in his old age, and he made a robe of many colors for him." And so we find that almost immediately there was a real sense in which Joseph came on the scene that it was a very pleasing thing. Now, Joseph's life ends over in the 50th chapter of Genesis in verse 27. And we find that in the end of Genesis here, when Joseph actually passed away, and it's acknowledged, verse 26 of the 50th chapter, the last verse in Genesis. Joseph died at the age of 110. Man, I got a good goal set for me, huh? 110. Joseph died at 110. Now, in the meantime, all these things developed in Joseph's life, and some of those things were good, some of them were bad, some of them were hard times, some of them were just joyous times. But we want to just pull some of those things out of there that we realize. And first of all, this morning, I want to say that Joseph was a man who was in touch with God. God was very important to Joseph. When we were talking about this week, Nan said, but where did he learn that? Well, he had to learn it from Israel. That's where he had to learn it because he was a favorite son. And because of that, he sat under in his father's lap or around his father, and his father was passing on to him some things that he had learned and that God was very important. And so in Joseph's life, God was very important. And as circumstances continually were changing in Joseph's life, he did not change his relationship to God. And there were good days, there were bad days. It didn't make any difference. Whether we're up or down, Joseph was staying faithful to God and all. And so we know that he was in a right relationship with him. And so that comes on. Now, Joseph is talked about being blessed by God by being able to do other things. Now, first of all, of course, he was a favorite to his father. Now, I just want to say a warning here to parents. Don't have favorites. Now, sometimes that's hard to do because some of your children are much more obedient to you and maybe a little more, the kind of child that you want them to be, and when you discipline them, they take that and go on, and some of them are very rebellious and ugly and nasty, and maybe even to you, and so it's more difficult for you to love them. But treat them all alike. Now, I don't mean to go to You don't have to keep up now. If you spend $10 on this one, you're going to have to spend $10 on that one and the rest of them, you know. Or at Christmas time that you're going to have all the gifts the same because it's just somewhere or another. It's just hard to do that. This man had two sons, and one of them was very optimistic, one of them was very pessimistic, and so at Christmas time, he always had a hard time deciding. So he said, this year, I'm going to get that pessimist son up out of pessimism, and I'm going to humble this son that's so optimistic. And so he decided what he was going to do. And so he decided that he would give the one that was so pessimist a brand new sparkling bicycle, one that all the kids were wanting. So at Christmas time when they got up and came down, there was this sparkling bicycle. And this pessimist son looked at that bicycle and said, it's going to break. And for the other one, he brought in a bag of manure, horse manure. And the optimist son looked at that, and all of a sudden he just dove into that sack and just started tearing it up. And he tore out the front door, and he says, "There's got to be a horse around here somewhere." Now, you don't want to be to the extremes in that, but you've got to treat them alike. You've got to be non-partial. And so this creates some problems for them because when he gave him that coat of many colors, as we read in that first verse, then the brothers were jealous of him, and it created problems for them. But he was consistent, though, in staying with God. Now, God gave him the ability to dream dreams, and those dreams got him into trouble, too. But God gave him this ability, and you can read the context of all this, and you find that when he dreamed these dreams, Joseph didn't have no better sense than to tell his brothers. You know, I mean, that created a problem for him. But God would speak to him through dreams and stuff. But not only in dreams, but God blessed him in many ways. And we find that in verse 21 of that 39th chapter, that even when he was in jail, God blessed him. The word records the fact that God blessed him at every turn. Joseph recognized and gave God some credit and God's hand was upon him and helped him in all that he did. And so we find that. And then later on, he gave him the ability to interpret dreams. All these gifts were coming from God. And Joseph recognized. Joseph gave God credit. And the scripture talks about the fact that God was in that. And it was God and not himself. And so he talked about that. The second thing that you hope that these characteristics was that he found favor with God and with man. Now, some people just have a terrible time being in favor anywhere. I mean, you know, they're like the pessimist son. They're always down and they're always negative and they're mad at the world and they're mad at everybody around them, and it's very difficult for them to have favor. And we need to work on that. You need to do everything you can as your children are growing up, and even you today, you may need to find and read materials that are on the upper side to tell you how that you can do that. Do you have a good smile? Do you greet people well? Do you look in their eyes? Do you talk to them? There are lots of things that you can develop that along that will help you have favor with man. And you can speak to God and you can talk to God and it helps you to have favor with God. Well, Joseph was one of those kind of people. He just undoubtedly was one of those that developed his personality and everything went well. And he had favor with God and favor with man everywhere he turned around, even in the bad times. First thing you know, he was just always came up on top, you know, somehow or another. He found that favor. So in his house, in his home there, it says that he was his favorite of his father. When he was sold down into Egypt, he became a favorite in the household of Potiphar, who bought him as a slave. When he was falsely accused and ended up in jail, first thing you know, he's running to jail. You know, everything, no matter how it turns out, he comes out on top. Then down in Egypt there, from the jailhouse, he was elevated to be second in command of all of Egypt. Talking about somebody that somehow or another became very in favor of ever who was above him, he became in favor of them. And I don't know how all that happened, but let me tell you, God wants you to be in favor with him. And that's starting it. And then God wants you to be in favor with the people around you. Now, he don't want you to compromise your convictions or to tear up and break God's laws in order to try to win somebody's influence. But you need to be in favor with those around you and all of that. And I trust that you'll do that. And sometimes, collectively, we need to be in favor with the community. God expects us to be in the favor of the community, and sometimes churches lose that. Churches have reputations, and hopefully that we're in favor with God, and through that, then we began to develop favor with the community in the fact that we represent God, and we do good for God, and we do good for our community, and all of that. And this walk through Bethlehem is part of that strategy that we have to influence our community, let them know that we want to give to them, that we want to be in favor with them, and we want them to look upon us and all. And I say that you want to, where that, when a new person moves into any of this community of Dothan, Alabama, if they say, where's a good Baptist church? And immediately the people think of Mount Gilead Baptist Church. That's what we want. We want them to think that we are a church worth exploring and being a part of. We hope that the role model there is they found favor with God. Third, we find that Joseph was very faithful in carrying out his responsibilities. Now, sometimes it's meager stuff. Most of the time it starts off that way. God gives us opportunities according to what we are faithful in. It starts out meager and small. And if we are faithful in carrying out our responsibility, then God allows us to have more responsibility or to accomplish more by that. In the home there, we know that Joseph found favor with his father. Now, he wasn't too well in favor with his brothers. And I blame some of that on his father because of his favoritism. And I blame some of it on Joseph because he didn't have good common sense when he was a young man. But we do know that he still carried out his responsibility. When his father one day called him in and said, Joseph, I want you to take some food. I want you to go out and find your brothers, wherever they're keeping the herds or the flocks or whichever they were involved with. I want you to go out there and check on them and find out about them and then bring me word from them. And Joseph went out there to do that. Now, when he got out there, his brothers took him and threw him down in a well and then drug him out of there and sold him off into slavery down in Egypt. But still, Joseph was faithful. Whatever his father wanted him to do, he did that. If his father wanted him to stay around the house, he stayed around the house. If his father wanted him to go off wandering across the hillsides and down through the desolate lands and looking for his brother, he did that. He was a good son. He carried out the responsibility that was given to him in his home. One of the times I broke my mother's heart, not many times because I was her favorite. Not really. But yes, too, yeah. I came home from college one weekend. My job, my chore at home when I was home was milking the cow or the cows, whichever we had. And I came home one weekend, and Mother, on Saturday morning, Mother woke me up. She said, Bob, I want you to go milk the cows. And I remembered as if it was today. I looked her in the face, and I said, Mother, I didn't come home to milk no cows. Almost immediately, tears began to run down her face. Because I had not been respectful and I had not carried out what she wanted me to do. We've got to be careful. Whether it's our parents, or whether it's our friends, whether it's those jobs and the companies that we work for, we need to be faithful. We need to be carrying out the responsibility. When we were in New Orleans, most of the seminary students had to work part-time, put their way through school. I did in college as well as at the seminary. And most of the businesses were proud and liked to hire seminary students because we were faithful. We kept the schedules. We showed up on time. We gave them a good day's work for a good day's pay. And they were glad to have the seminary students to work for them. But one day, we were going to buy something on credit. I don't know what it was. It might have been a washing machine, dryer, something other. Wasn't much. And I applied for credit at one of the department stores. And they turned me down. I asked them why. They said, it's our policy. We do not give any seminary students credit because we've had a bad experience with the seminary students. I'm sure that they did not intend to leave New Orleans owing money. Many of them got themselves in trouble, financially and otherwise, and had to leave. It wasn't none of me, though. But it's very, very important that we carry out the responsibilities that we are given. And so I say to you that Joseph was a man who carried out and kept the responsibility that was given to him. Whether it was with his brothers going and checking on them, whether it was with in the jailhouse, whether it was in Potiphar's house, or whether it was down in Egypt when responsibilities came his way, Joseph was carrying out those responsibilities and kept those responsibilities. So let me say to all of us, we need to be sure that we are aware of responsibilities that we have. And whether our neighbors are looking, or whether our boss is looking, whether our family is looking, let's be sure that we carry those responsibilities out because it reflects on our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, how we carry out those responsibilities. Fourth, Joseph had a fear for God. Now, of all the characteristics that the role model ought to have, they ought to have a good, healthy dose of respect for God and fear for God in the right sense. Now, the classic illustration of that in Joseph's life is when he was in Potiphar's house. And the scripture tells us that Potiphar's wife came and proposed to him that he make love to her. And it says that it went on day after day. She would proposition him. And he would not give in. Coming back from Honduras board meeting this weekend, coming through one of the little towns between here and Oxford, Alabama, there was a sign out in front of this business that says, opportunity comes knocking once, but temptation will lean on your doorbell. That's what was happening to Joseph. Temptation, day in and day out. She was propositioning him and trying to get him. And Joseph knew the word that every one of us ought to know. And if we have good, healthy respect for God, we will know it. One little word. The word is no. When Satan tempts you, you need to be saying no. If it's sexual temptation, no. If it's drug temptation, alcoholic temptation, all the sins of the world that are bombarded us in our society today, we need to know that word, no. It's very important that we can learn to say no. And many young people get in trouble because they don't learn how to say no. You say, well, people get mad at me if I say no. Listen, it's better for people to get mad at you than for God to get mad at you. And God sees everything you do. Right now, I'm in big trouble. Over the last couple of weeks or three now, Nan had had her cataracts removed. And now she's got two eyes, two good eyes that she can see out of. I'm in trouble. Even this morning, she said, let me pull them hairs out of your ears. Let me tell you. God sees better than she does. And it's very important that you learn to say no. Have fear and respect for God. Joseph had that kind of fear and respect, and he handled it so he could say no. And he says in chapter 39, verse 9b, the last part of that, he equates sin as being against God. Tells Potiphar's wife, for me to do this would be breaking God and be a sin against God, and I can't do that. No. Sometimes you have to pay a consequence for that. Joseph paid the consequences for it. And one of the greatest or biggest areas of characteristics that Joseph had that just shocks me and is not natural was in the area of forgiveness. Turn to that 50th chapter if you still got your Bibles open there. If not, that's fine. Verse 19 and 20 of the 50th chapter. After Joseph had been imprisoned and set free and became second in command down in Egypt, and the 7 years of plenty came through, and they were in the 7 years of famine, when Joseph's ancestors came down to Egypt, his father Israel and others, his brother, Israel passed away, and so when Israel passed away, the brothers were so afraid that Joseph was going to get revenge. Because Joseph was completely aware of the fact that his brothers had caught him when he came down to get a report for his father. They had bound him and put him down in a well or a citron to catch water and kept him there until this caravan of Ishmaelites came by and they drug him up out there and sold him to him as a slave. And they carried him down into Egypt and sold him into slavery. And now anything that would stand between Joseph getting revenge on them for the sorrowness of their life had died and had been buried. It says that they were afraid of what Joseph might do because he could have had them executed. He could have taken their families and sold them into slavery. He could have done all these things. But in 19 and 20, we find these words. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present results, the survival of many people. Therefore, don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Jesus, in the model prayer, instructs us as Christians to forgive those who trespass against us, even as God has forgiven us. So one of the good characteristics of any role model is a person that has the ability to be wronged or have things happen to them and not hold grudges or to give up and treat people fairly and rightly with a heart of love. And that was Joseph. He looked at these brothers that deserved probably to be thrown in prison, sold into slavery, taken out and hanged. But he says, don't worry. That's behind us. I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to take care of your families, and I'm going to take care of your descendants. I want you to know that it's gone. Bye-byes are gone. We must have that kind of a spirit about us if we are to be obedient to God in these days. That's not easy. That's not natural. And I'd say to you that if you're carrying grudges or if you have hatred for someone, you need to put it aside. You need to pray over it. You need to depend on God and let God cleanse your heart and your life and free you up so it will not drag you down or keep you behind, because you need a spirit of forgiveness. After all, the Scripture tells us that we were yet sinners when Christ died for us, that we were wrong, we were evil, we were corrupt, and God loved us enough that He sent His only begotten Son, that He would give His life for us, and God forgave us. We need to be forgiving. One other attitude this morning that I want to share about Joseph, and that was he had a great fortitude. He had a stick-to-itiveness. The Sunday school lesson touched on that this morning. That you've got to have stick-to-itiveness. Now, not everything. The circumstances are going to be bad. The things are going to go wrong. And you've got to be able to stick with it, stay with it, even in all this. Let me just go down very quickly through some things that Joseph faced. One was he was faced by the hatred of his brothers. Now, some of you sitting in here this morning are hated by your kinfolks. They have no use for you. Or maybe you don't have any use for them. But Joseph did not let that stop him from being a good believer in God and being obedient to God. The brothers hated him. Secondly, there was great envy there. And that is always sometimes a problem. Envy between people as they look at their neighbor, what their neighbor has and what they've got, or on the job, what the promotions come along and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes we get eat up by the fact that we are envious of other people and what other people have. Since we were able, Nan and I have always driven good cars, not wrecks or junk cars, good cars. God has allowed us to do that. A preacher friend of ours in the Birmingham area had an old junker and it quit on him. And I said, well, take our car. The next week he brought it back and he said, Brother Bob, you created a problem for me. I said, Billy, what's that? He said, and this was a Buick Park Avenue, 1 year old, white with red interior. It was a sharp looking car. And he parked that in front of the pastorum. And before the week was up, they had decided they were paying him too much money. He said, I got a problem. My chairman of finance says, I'll not get a raise this year. If you can afford a car like that, we don't need to pay you anymore. It wasn't even his. Envy. Strife. Then he got into this thing when he thought he was okay, and his brother sold him into slavery. He was moved from being the very favorite of his father down to a slave down in Egypt. But he stayed faithful. From that, he got into Potiphar's house and then he was tempted and accused falsely, and temptation came his way, but he got through that and all and he was put into the dungeon and for a while, and then he elevated above that and all in the prison life, and every time he gets up, something comes along and kicks him down. Some of you have been along that way. Some of you said, oh me, Job, you know, things just keep going wrong, getting bad and worse and all that. You look down through here. Joseph did not have it easy, but when he died at 110 years old, he was number two in the whole nation of Egypt. He had at every beckon of his command, a chariot, the finest chariot. He had everything. He had great wealth. He had great prestige and all. But that didn't come easy. He was in all of these difficulties, and yet he stuck with it. He stayed true to God and true to himself, and God began to move and work in him. All these things came along, and I hadn't even touched on the ingratitude that the butler and the cook had down in the prison with him, you know. When they got out, they'd forget about Joseph. One of them didn't get out, but one day he had his head cut off. These things, and if you're going to look for a role model, look for these things. Bright with God, favored with God and man, faithful in responsibilities, proper fear for God, and the forgiving nature about you, and having that stick-to-itiveness to stay with it when times get bad, because the good times will roll if you're faithful to God. In all of this, choose carefully the role models you have for your life, no matter where you are and what stage of life you're in. Choose carefully those that you're going to pick as role models for your life.